Let these guys tell you what they would do for a waffle hot dog. The Two Hawaii Dads Podcast.
Mahi, think of me on the Two Hawaii Dads Podcast. What's going on? It's Jason.
Justin, what's up, my brother?
How you living, man? I like your shirt.
Thanks, man. I've been meaning to make more. It's something about buying it and making it is just real.
I can help you with that. Well, we are back, ladies and gentlemen, with another fantastic episode planned for you this week. We are on a roll with the guests, man. We got some great guests on the last few episodes.
Season two on fire.
We are starting off with a bang, and we will continue going this week. Coming up in just a little bit, Mahi, ladies and gentlemen.
Mahi Crab, Mahi Live.
If you follow him on Instagram, you know that dude is lit. Is that the right phrase to use?
Yeah, there you go. You're coming around, bro. You're coming around. Yeah, he is lit work-wise and music-wise, and yeah, now he's lit as a dad.
So make sure you stick around for that. It's coming up in a little bit. And also want to make sure that you know about the website. We've spent a lot of time, a lot of effort, and it is finally up and running. TwoHawaiiDads.com. It is your one-stop shop for everything Justin and Jason.
Yep, all of us. You can go check out our blogs. You can go check out our recently updated podcast. We're going to post it on top of there. And
there's more?
There is lots more, Johnny. We give away stuff, and I do believe we have found ourselves a winner.
We do. We were trying to get this off the ground. Like, it's one thing to listen to the show and support the show, but what we want to do as dads is provide something in return. That's the thing. Somebody's always coming to dad with their hand out. They're always like, Dad, I need this. Dad, I need that. I'm used to helping people out, and I know you are as well, and that's what you do for the ones you love. You make sure you hook them up, right?
Correct.
So that's what we're doing for our friends, fans, followers, whatever you want to call them, listeners, viewers, now that we've got the video aspect of the podcast going. But we had a hookup, and it was all thanks to the fine folks over there at Salon 96816 on Wildlife Avenue. Michelle and the crew, thank you so much for supporting our very first giveaway here. It is our first giveaway here on the show, right? It is.
Yeah. That is officially our first one. Correct. Okay.
So what we have is a roll of toilet paper, and that is something that I was able to get my hands on. So we have a roll of toilet paper, and that, if you're watching the video, is the actual roll that I will be hand-delivering to the winner. And we also have to go with that, a $50 gift card to Foodland. Not mad
thank
at that
so
at all.
Thank you so much.
And you know what the beautiful awesome. Thing is? People were asking about this on social media. They were like, well, what can I get with it? I don't care what you get with it. Get what you like.
What? You have $50 to splurge at Foodland. You can buy $50 worth of broccoli if you wanted to do an excursion.
What would you go to Foodland? What would you go to Foodland and buy with $50?
Okay, wait. Are we talking about?
Hey, it's a loaded. It's a loaded question.
Wait. Okay. Now, I'm first one is going to be as.
You know Justin she's listening. Dad. You know she's listening, right?
Justin the dad.
Okay.
Justin the dad is going to grab groceries.
All right.
Okay. All right. J.I. Ray, on the other hand, is probably going to grab poke and a bottle of Hards.
Now, do you buy the cheapest bottle of Hards possible to get the biggest bang for
on,
your
you
buck?
Know me.
You trying to get that 17? You trying to get that 175er with your $50 gift card?
Give me that handle. Come on, you know me. Come on, Jason.
You, trying to see what's on sale with the Mike Hutty sale is? You got the card? Can I stack it? Can I make sure I stack that?
What is Foodland's generic brand? What is it? Is it
Mike Cutty vodka over at Foodland? If they don't, they should, because J.I. Ray would be right there with his hand out.
All right, I'm ready to endorse.
Unfortunate thing is you can't win this $50 gift card. Neither can I. Damn. Neither can anybody we are related to. But if your email starts with ShaySky22, I'm not going to give away the whole email because then we're just giving it all away and then you're going to get unwanted messages.
Everybody's going to spam them.
But Shay or Sky.
Shay, congratulations.
You think her name is Shay or you think her name is Sky? I'm going to say Sky.
It could be a he.
You never know.
You never know. Well, whoever you are.
ShaySky22, congratulations. You scored a roll of toilet paper and $50 to Foodland.
Oh!
It's that two-hole E-Dad stimulus package right there. We're stimulating people.
That felt good.
It did.
That felt good.
It did. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Salon 96816. So if you are out there, I was just going to say, if there's somebody out there that's listening and they have a business, or even if they don't have a business, but they want to jump on the stimulus train, what we're trying to do is get this package going so we can start doing more giveaways, helping out more people. I think people get more excited when they know that they can win something, and it'd be cool to win like a whole stack of gift cards. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be awesome. Awesome. So. And again, yeah, thank you to Michelle and the crew. I'm just thinking maybe the salons have been not working for the longest time. People need to color their hair.
Well, there's a reason why this hat is on that you can see in the video. And there's a reason why I'm not going to be showing off my hair anytime soon. I'm this close to just taking the beard trimmer that I have and I got to go
back.
What
was wrong with it? We liked it. We agreed. That was a good look.
I do. But what I want to do is go and get it cut by somebody who knows actually how to cut hair and do a proper fade. Because I really don't like the KKK look. You know, the skinhead. Nah, I'm good. I'm good. I like a little bit on the top. Got to have a little bit of fuzz. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying.
So that's been like the highlight of my last week of this quarantine, is looking at myself in the mirror and going, it's time to cut this. It's time to cut this. I had the beard growing for a minute, but I took that off, you know.
Because initially, when Ige and Caldwell were talking about opening things up, I was thinking, salons was going to be one of the first ones open. People need to get lined up. People need to get their hair colored. No?
I was going to say no because you're so close. You know what I mean? The ability to transmit disease, even wearing the mask, is, I would think it'd be too great for some of those people to want to go back to work.
I was thinking, like, they can probably put like a saran wrap, like a barrier, and then, I mean, you know, like how the ERs do with the hands and stuff when the baby's ICU, baby.
You're serious? No, I don't. I don't think we're gonna have operation going on at Supercuts. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't think like K&L Barber over on the Liha is gonna be like, yeah, let's get this whole new operation going.
Time to glove up, everybody.
Thought that you're gonna cut hair, you're not gonna cut hair. You know what I mean? But I hear you because there's people, and I think the dads out there are actually a lot better suited for this. There are a few dads that are like, yeah, worried, and I'm one of them. I want to cut my hair. But at the same time, have you seen some of these moms out there that are starting to look real ragged compared to the dads?
Yeah, I've seen some bushes out there, some bush.
And like there's this, and the roots are coming out. You can tell, no. Oh, you've been coloring your hair. Ah.
Got you.
That's the thing, man. All the fakery starts coming out when you can't get get to the stylist.
But so, Hobrah, David Ige,
yeah,
Caldwell, this weekend, actually on Friday, all full steam ahead, opening up those malls. How do you feel about that?
Oh, it's the thing is, it's the United States of America, love it or leave it, and you're going to have the choice, you know. If you want to go and get out there and be outside, I totally get it because I want to be outside. I want to go do that stuff, and I understand the relaxing of the rules to allow that. At the same time, Ige has just extended the safer at-home order through June 30th, right? And whatever you want to say about Ige, the man, you know what I'm saying? I think the thinking is right as far as you should stay home. If you don't have a reason to go out, if there's nothing that's like pushing you to get out there, you're better off staying home.
I agree. There's nobody forcing you to go out and shop. They're just giving you the option, which is exactly what you're saying, to do it. And I see the good, I see the bad, and I think I'm going to be riding the fence with it, to be honest.
I can see why people got to get out of the house. And to be honest, we're making plans right now to go to the beach because as far as I understand, you can now go to the beach as a family and be on the beach, right? You don't have to just be in the water. You can't get in trouble. If I'm not mistaken, and I could be wrong, I'm gonna go check.
You can give us 45 minutes and it could totally change.
Well, yeah. But the beautiful thing about the government is there is a piece of paper somewhere where it's written down and it says right here. No, because that's what you gotta show to the cop. If the cop can come over and give you stress, right? At least I can whip up the phone and be like, yo, you see this order?
But the cop should know this.
When was the last time you found that one of Honolulu's finest knew every nook and cranny of every single lawn was completely up to speed?
Okay, you in.
I'm
yes,
just saying. CYA, baby. CYA. CYA. I'd rather have the order in hand so I can go to the beach with my family and not be worried that I'm going to get a $5,000 ticket.
Yeah, no doubt.
You can still get the ticket. That's the thing is if you don't say the right thing, if you don't have the right answer, if you don't know exactly the ins and outs about what's allowed, you can still catch a case. You can catch that case.
Or if you don't know anybody on the force to get you out of jam.
Back to what you were saying, though. We're going to still go out. And that's the thing is we've had to go shopping. We have to continue. I have to go to work. We still have to get out there. But this has still changed the way we live our lives. This has still changed the way the next 6 months to a year, I think, honestly, are going to go for everyone here in Hawaii. And like it or not, lifestyle is going to change. We've got to make changes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like this this past weekend, I went to go and try to shop for meat, and it was unbelievable. I got so frustrated. And I didn't even get in the store. Yep. This is before even getting in the store. Wow. And I think moving forward, this is how it's going to be. You have to put, so say back in the day, you would put an hour, hour and a half to go shopping.
Sure.
Double now.
This is why I disagree. It doesn't have to take that long because it's going to push more people into ordering their groceries online and having it delivered. I think there's going to be more people going there. And, you know, honestly, for a lot of people that are out of work, that's going to end up being their saving grace, I think, in the short term, is that if they got a car and they've got insurance, the delivery sector is going to skyrocket. And more people are going to feel more comfortable just having their groceries delivered for the exact reason you just said. I don't want to go out, be around all these jackasses who aren't wearing their masks, who aren't practicing social distancing, who are acting like COVIDiots, if you want to use that stupid word. But my point is, it's going to be easier. The barriers are going to be lower to just stay home and have it brought to you. I think it's going to push more people into doing that.
Is there anything locally doing that right now, locally?
Doing groceries?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because I
Safeway?
I'm old school.
Yes, you can get your groceries delivered. Absolutely.
And you, Justin,
can right now, if you wanted to, get your groceries delivered from Safeway.
No third, is there a third party? Do you know what there's a? It's Safeway driverless.
Yep.
Wow.
And that's just one example. There are other examples as well. I think if you were a town near you, closer, I think Whole Foods does it. I think Foodland now is doing it for Pearl Ridge and Ala Moana. Don't hold me to that. But this is the thing: is businesses are being forced to adapt. You know what I'm saying? And we've been going through this long enough where now you're starting to see some of these businesses, they either want to pivot, they want to change, they want to stay competitive, or they just want to struggle and fight it and like hope that they stay open. But if they don't realize that change is coming, they're not going to stay
open. They're going to sink. Yeah, they're going to sink.
And the thing is, too, is it's getting harder and harder to spend your money. Don't you want to make it easy for people to spend money? Like,
true.
I went to this store that rhymes with Walmart. I went to Walmart. I tried to go to Walmart.
Real smooth, dog.
Yeah,
real
sorry,
smooth.
Bro. So I tried to go. And the one by your office, they were closing it down so you could only get in on the Fort Street Mall side. Every other entrance was closed except for the one on the other side of the building, and that was an exit only, right? And you know how it is downtown, how hard it is to find parking. So I scored parking. I'm like, yes, I'm right outside the door. And I'm walking up to the door. And ladies, they're going, you can't come in this way. You got to walk around. And I'm like, I got to walk around? She said, yeah, the only way to get in is on the other side of the building. And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, bye. And I drove off. Like, I'm not going to sit. I'm not going to go walk all the way around. I drove my ass to the other Walmart where I could park again, and then I had to walk in there.
Oh, damn, man!
I already know that I'm not going to have a very enjoyable time at that particular establishment, and I think you know why. You know, it's not it's not the clientele that goes there. It's not always the friendliest place, especially when you go downtown. Kyomoku is not that much better, but that's the thing. Is after that, I'm going to have to walk all the way around, and I didn't have any bags, so I'm like, I'm going to have to walk all the way back with all my crap. No. Nope.
Ah, go off, Jason. Go off.
The other thing is, you got to make it easy to spend money. And I get that digital is important. I get that online ordering is important. But if these takeout places that are opening up, if they don't realize that people still want to walk up and order some food, they're going to lose customers. That's another thing that I ran into more than once, actually, in the last couple of weeks, is that I tried to go into some place and they're like, oh, we're only taking online orders. And I looked around. I'm like, there's nobody here.
Do you
here.
Want my money
there's
or not?
Nobody here. The cook is the cook is standing right there not doing anything. I'm like, I'm here and I want to get a takeout order. Can I get a takeout? No, you got to go outside and order online. Okay, that's
for driveway.
Well, and the thing was, I wasn't mad about it. I was like, okay, thank you. I'm going to go outside. And I walked outside and I got back in my car and I drove somewhere else to have lunch. You don't want my money? Like, there's some.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Like, cash, I get that cash is dirty, but still, you don't want cash? Like, if I was a business owner, I'd be like, whatever way you want to pay me, no matter what, we'll disinfect that stuff. Like, we can put it in a bag and go, you know, run it through the dryer. But you're going to turn down cash money even now?
Wow.
Like, no.
I hope you went someplace else and got better than that.
Actually, I just went home and had Simon.
Hey, you better watch out, Bar. I just saw recently that Maruchan. Maruchan.
Maruchan.
Maruchan. Their their one of their big distributing warehouses is gonna shut D. Gonna shut down. I think it's in like Virginia. Who would have thought in Virginia? For one, who would have thought it was in Virginia? But sign in, that's like a staple. At least two times a week in my house. At least.
Get more than one brand, so that's the thing. And then if you like that
I'm not gonna splurge to that expensive one.
Right, they got hoity-toity brands now. You can get all kinds of different kind of ramen, bro. So
it's either Maruchan or Top. Yeah. That other brand I'm not gonna spend the other brand.
Well, we are going to step aside for just a moment, and when we come back, I think we're ready to go. We have the one, the only Mahi live, aka Mahi Crab. He is standing by, ready to go.
Whoa!
So we're going to talk to him in just a little bit. Sit tight. It is the Two Hawaii Dads podcast. That's Justin.
Jason, right on the other side.
And Mahi live is coming right up, so stick around.
The Two Hawaii Dads Podcast. These two still chant Let's Go Bows at the football game.
All right, and we are back. It is the Two Hawaii Dads Podcast. That's Justin right there.
Yo!
And joining
Jason
us
right on the other side.
It is the one, the only Mahi is in the building.
Hello. Thank you so much, my brother, for joining us. I know you're working. We got you to pull over for a quick one. We appreciate it. For how's life going so far?
It's hold on. Is it still connected?
We good, bro. Yeah, we good.
It's good, bro. Everybody got a break from the coronavirus. I didn't. I got busier. but I used it as an excuse to literally stay home and not have to answer my phone and spend time with my daughter, which was honestly I'm super happy that this coronavirus thing happened.
Now, there's two things that we got to explain to people. Number one, everybody's hearing Mahi, the entertainer, but that's not actually the job that's going on. When you say you're even more busy, it's because those of our listeners who are actually watching the video can see you're coming to us from the, what is it called?
From my second house. I'm in my truck.
Second house. He's in a semi-truck, ladies and gentlemen. Mahi is a businessman, and he owns his own trucking company. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I own a trucking company. I do car hauling. I have four semis now, and I have no life. Pretty much what it comes down to.
So, High Nine Transport, currently based in Vegas, and then you bounce from where to where?
I'm based out of Vegas, and I bounce between Southern California and Phoenix regularly, like almost daily. But if there's other like a lot of people hit me up through my Instagram, on Facebook, local people saying they need their cars moved, and I can help them because I can broker the cars out to other drivers if they're not picked up by myself on my own trucks. So yeah, if you're watching Need Your Car Ship, I'm the guy. Hi.
There you go. Get that plug in there.
I was gonna say it's mostly mostly cars. You're not doing like produce or other products, it's cars. You're doing car transport.
I mean, I tried. No, I did some research before I got into this, and even still now, it's not for me. It's not worth it. Money wise, it's not worth it for what I would generate with one truck with cars versus one truck with like freight or like dry vans, produce, all that stuff. Cars is where it's at for me.
Awesome, awesome. Well, at least one thing good about the corona thing is that you got to spend more time with your daughter. And gas is hella cheap too, right?
Yep. It was good because like the only real quality time I had to spend with my daughter was like the 2-3 days we're in the hospital. Because after that, I was home for maybe a few days until mommy was like could walk on her own and all that mommy stuff. Mm-hmm. And after that, it was like right back. I wanted to slow down. I honestly did, but since like I'm the owner, everything and all communication has to filter through me, whether I like it or not. Some days like today suck, royally suck. Like my call log is literally every 3 minutes from the time I open my eyes until like 6 p.m. even though
Sleeping one eye open.
I mean, pretty much, because if it's not a customer calling, it's one of my drivers, and It's not that I cannot answer the phone to them, because it's an important question that only I can answer for them at 2-3 in the morning. So it's name of the game, but I also, I'm happy. I'm happy I made this decision with this company. It made me not have to depend on music, which I appreciate more, because it got to the point where I've been in Vegas, 11 years now. For the past maybe at least 5 or 6 years, I was playing on the Strip like 6 nights a week, and music, it became a job. Like, it was, I was a robot, and even though the people attending were super having fun, super faded, typical white trash Vegas night out, it was cool, but it was just work. There wasn't any passion behind it. It seemed that same damn songs 20 times a week, and I was over it. I injured my hand. I couldn't play guitar for a whole year and a half, almost 2 years now. So I had no choice but to give my attention to this trucking company to replace the income that to replace with.
Talk about that year off of music. Is that when you started thinking about pursuing this trucking thing? Or yep. You was like, Let me try to get through this the injury and see what happens.
Well, first of all, the injury freaking sucked.
I've seen pictures. I remember those pictures.
It sucked. I'm honestly lucky to have a hand right now, because that's how bad it was. And I was told I would get full recovery, but honestly, if you saw my hand, full recovery is just a shot in the dark. I'm probably about 80-90%, and I had two operations. First one after a year of healing, I had the second one, and I can play. It's uncomfortable, but I can still play, and that's all I wanted. And even my surgeon's office, where I still go into for physical therapy and stuff, everybody, like, I'm like their testimony almost, because literally, like, even in therapy, they'll see, like, yeah, look at this guy's hand, but look at what he did, and literally everybody is like jaw drop, because it's a miracle, dude. I'm honestly lucky and blessed. Like, it came to the point after, like, maybe the first year, maybe like the first 9-10 months, I honestly gave up. Mentally, I gave up, because I was like, bro, I'm never gonna play guitar again. I tried, and it just freaking wasn't happening.
What got you to turn the corner? What made you,
there you go,
come around? Like, if that's what you're saying, then it sounds like you have a better outlook now.
I do, because that was only after one surgery. So basically, they say that with an injury this big, you have your body will give you 1 year to recover, and whatever happens after that 1 year, you're pretty much stuck with it. So I waited out the 1 year. Like, the 11th month came, I'm like, I'm screwed. I'm so screwed. And then I went back into the doctor for another follow-up. She said, well, we can try this, which was another operation. And I thought, well, if it was your hand, what would you do? She goes, I would try it, because you have nothing to lose. You already healed like freaking Wolverine. And even if we do this operation and it's not successful, at least you know that you tried. And
would you have lost anything if it was unsuccessful? Could you have regressed?
No.
It was only going to be a positive.
I would have only stayed the same. I never would have got any worse. Because within that 1 year, I did try to play. I started taking gigs and with another guitar player, and I would play keyboards, and I would just try and play guitar. I got by, but I went from freaking shredding ass to barely being able to hold a chord. Still now, I can't play a chord. I can play more. But besides all of that, my surgeon's recommendation was to do that surgery. And so I did. And maybe 2 or 3 months later, I posted it. I posted it on my Instagram, because I was freaking mind blown. Mommy was like, she started crying, because like she's seen me on the road. She's come to the tour. She went on tour with me to babysit my ass just in case. Because like the first tour I tried to do without singing, I ran out of pain meds. It freaking royally sucked. I had to pull out of the tour so I could go back to the surgeon to get more meds. And then when I actually tried to pick up the guitar, I was like, holy shit, this just happened. Like the chords I couldn't play, I could play. The riffs I couldn't play before, I could play again. I was
nice.
Freaking mind blown. And so that's what turned it around for me. And it was honestly, it's a freaking miracle if you think about it.
It sounds to me like your instrument is what's important. I mean, you have a great voice, and people always compliment you on your voice. But it sounds like you need your guitar, you need your weapon in order to get out there on stage and attack the audience.
Exactly. But the other thing that I'm grateful for this injury, like, it's people with things like, well, why are you grateful for injury? I honestly am, because it got to a point where, like, the first tour I did without having my guitar, like, the guitar is like, it's like a protection, I guess. It's comfort. But not having that comfort, like, between the audience and I.
Having it right.
It was fucking weird. It was super weird.
And you can't just stand there with the guitar and not play it.
Exactly. It was weird. I remember, I would never forget that first tour I did. First time I walked on the stage with no guitar, I felt like it sucked. It felt super weird. Naked.
What do you do with your hands?
I thought I was freaking standing on a light pole naked. That's what it felt like. But after I got comfortable with it, that tour, I did another tour, then it got to the point where I didn't want to play guitar. And I mean, I couldn't, but at the same time, I didn't want to play guitar because I felt like having the guitar in my hand was a crutch. And so it's like, it's a win-win all around for me. Maybe it's not a win-win, but I took everything as a win, because my strengths became my weaknesses, and vice versa. And now I'm pretty much back to 100%, honestly. And I feel like I grew as a performer, I grew as a singer, I grew as a guitar player, even though I regressed.
It sounds like you're a lot more well-rounded now as an overall musician than you were before the injury.
Correct, correct.
All right.
So now you're back making music. We got the songs are getting played on the radio. How are you trying to mix both at the same time, pre-COVID? How are you doing it pre-COVID? Running the business and trying to, you know, get the music out, push, promo, all of that kinds of stuff.
I honestly, if I could be completely honest, I think I royally freaking failed at doing it, doing both. Because it was honestly, like, my company takes up so much of my time. It's literally like, trucks. Oh, shit, here's a song. Release a song, give it attention for like a week. Releases, okay, cool. Trucks. Oh, right on. Top 5 at 5, number 1. Okay, cool, thanks, post. Trucks. That's pretty much what it is, and it sucks.
That's what pays the mortgage.
It pays for my daughter, that's it.
Yep.
And that's honestly what it comes down to.
Well, I was going to say, your attitude, I mean, up till now, it's always been got to take care of myself, got to take care of my girl. But tell me a little bit about what you just said. When the baby pops out and then all of a sudden you realize there's that new mouth that's looking up at you saying, daddy, well, not yet anyways, but now you got to you got to make sure that kid is taken care of as well. Has that changed your outlook?
I wouldn't say it changed my outlook, because I've been Uncle Dad before. I'm the youngest of three sisters. They all have like 25 kids. I honestly lost count how much kids they have. And it sucks, because like family pictures, Christmas, holidays. Uncle Mike. But I didn't have a kid of my own. And I'm honestly happy it finally happened. And even though I was not necessarily in a rush trying to like make babies with anything that walked. It finally happened. When it happened, it was supposed to happen, and it didn't change my outlook on life, because I already knew I'm already a provider by heart and by nature. It's just nice to have more of a why, a better why.
A clearly defined why. She's right there looking back at you. That's exactly. The why. Yeah, I feel that.
Things, calm your ass down and dumb stuff. Pretty much.
So do you think now that you have baby in your life, it will calm you down, or you still kind of, because I've been following you for a long time on Instagram and everything, and dog, your videos are wild. when you could go to the gym, your gym posts are freaking hilarious. You're like a sniper, bro. Everybody is classic.
Bro, I'm a ninja. But the I mean, that side is definitely not gonna come down. Like, that's never gonna go away. No, like for me, like for me,
that's good. I like that.
No, I'm because I've been around like the one thing I hate is like my friends were never my own age. Like I have the only friends, close friends I have, like my best friends from high school. That's I can count on one hand. But other than that, my crowd that I was hung out with was always like 5-6 years older than me, 10 years older than me. I was always mentally, I guess, more ahead. I was never my own age, and I'm saying that because a lot of the people that I always hung out with, all I would hear them say was, "Oh, I'm so old. I'm getting old, and oh, I'm gonna be 40." And to me, it's all this bullshit because it's your mindset. Like I choose. A lot of people would say like, "Oh, Mahi's immature. Or he acts like a kid." I mean, for lack of a better way to say it, fuck yeah, I act like a kid on purpose because I don't want to be 40 and feel 40. I don't want to be 50 and feel and have the mentality of a 50-year-old. Like, I'm going to be 50 and still kicking it like I'm 25.
There you go. Saying?
So, what do you see happening with your future? Because, like you said, you've got your hands full doing the work thing and then being the dad. But hopefully, at some point, the music will come back. What do you see happening in Vegas? Do you see Vegas coming back to where it was pre-COVID-19? Or did coronavirus kind of change the way Vegas is going to look going forward?
I think the entertainment world in Vegas is going to be dog-eat-dog for, like, the next year or so. Because all the people that had their residencies, there was guaranteed new bands rehearsing their asses off this whole last 2-3 months that are trying to take those spots. But luckily for me, like I don't need to be in that battle because I don't need that financial support. And I honestly don't have to depend on music at all. Like, music is strictly what I want it to be now, which is my passion. Like, I would do the last show I did it for free. And it was like a sold out show at House of Blues. Literally a few months before the whole COVID thing happened. And at the end of the day, after I got super ripped and bought the whole bar shots and bought all my bands and friends drinks and whatever, I did honestly lost money at the gig, but I didn't mind because on stage I was happy and my band was happy. And being able to do that as my first show since, like, my first like co-headline show, a big sold out show since I messed up my hand, that to me, that's what mattered. It was my passion. I was happy. I don't care about the money. I don't care about what money the music will produce for me from now and probably until I die, because I'm set up enough with my company right now where I wouldn't never have to rely on the music as I did prior to my injury now.
So ooh, that is like a total 180 of like just
complete
focus.
180.
Wow.
It's just, it also goes to show though that there are other musicians out there who are not lucky to be in the position that you are in right now. You've been able to get to a place in your life where you can call the shots, you can control what you're doing, but there's those musicians out there that don't have any choice. They need to get back out there, they need to gig, and this new dog eat dog world, there's gonna be some musicians that just, they're gonna have to find a new line of work.
Yep. And I mean yeah, you said it, but I got lucky. I took the most freaking depressing thing that could ever happen to a guitar player, and I turned that shit around and I changed my life so that I could live a better life. Bitch made it happen. My life motto one is don't get mad, get even. and the second one, which is the more important one for this conversation, is freaking sink or swim. And you bet your ass I'm not sinking, I'm fucking swimming. If it's with the current or upstream, I'm gonna get there.
And that's the attitude.
There you go.
There's some people that will just give up when the going gets tough. They fold, they crack, they say, you know what, I can't handle, and they cower in a corner. And then there's other people that decide, you know what, no, screw that, I'm gonna make this work. And it sounds like you are making it work.
I have no choice.
Mikey Motivation, I think I need you every Monday just to chime in. just do a post and be like, dude, get your shit straight. Let's do it.
Just call up and yell at him. Just call him up and yell at him for like 20 minutes. Quiet. Just do it.
Zip up your vagina and get it done.
There you go. Hey, awesome.
Now, we did play Think of Me earlier on in the show, and I'm going to give people a little bit sneak preview. When we wrap up at the end of this week's episode, we're going to play Let Me Love You, and that one's featuring Anna V. You want to tell us a little bit about that track?
Yeah, actually, a lot of people don't know. Anna and I went to school since, like, seventh grade.
Yeah.
Yep, and people
breaking
are like,
oh. News!
Yep.
Oh, no, breaking we're... news!
We breaking news every episode, like the last three episodes.
Everything. Spraying news. It's spraining news. No, and it kind of came full circle because, like, she did her whole thing, her song Hawaii smashed, and I was, like, balls deep in trucks, so I really didn't do anything. Her whole Janet thing happened, and then I already had Let Me Love You sitting for a long fucking time, and I literally just hit her up. I was like, bro, I'm stuck on this song, wanna write a verse? Oh yeah, literally, I got the screenshot. Hey, write me on verse. Okay, next day I get them. You ready? Yep. Okay. Wow. The next day she laid it down, sent it back to me, sent it to the producer, bingo bangle, done. That's it. It took like 2 days.
If it could only be that easy.
That sounds way too easy.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it like that every single time you make a song? Yeah.
No, you know, but you know what they say? Like, I heard it from Uncle Del Beasley, who writes a lot of, Del Beasley, legendary. He wrote a lot of Uncle Israel songs. He told me, if your song takes more than 10, 15 minutes to write, it's not a hit.
Oh, Uncle Del dropping knowledge.
And honestly, that stuck in my head so much, but when I think about like my song that stuck,
I was gonna say, has it held true? Has it worked that way for you?
It held true. It definitely held true.
Yeah. We're getting music right knowledge. We're getting life skills knowledge. We're getting all kinds of great information from Mahi today.
We'll start charging pretty soon.
I know. Hey, you start charging us for this interview.
Hey, if people want to follow you online, are you on social media? I know you're a busy dude, and now that you're a dad, you're doing dad life, but do you ever get on? I know you are on Instagram. Actually, there you go. How do people find you on Instagram? Where do they go?
Mahi Live. And if nothing is happening on Mahi Live, it's happening on High Nine Transport because I'm doing something with my trucks.
Yeah, I agree. Also, you have your website too, mahilive.com. Is that still up?
It's mahi.live.
Mahi.live. And that's where they can get Think of Me. Think of Me is out, available.
Yep, download that one. It. And honestly, I would, if you want to like the day to day, it's Instagram. Instagram is life. I mean, the website is just because we have to look legit, right? Oh, you get money. A website? Yeah, I get them. When's the last time you updated them? Like a year ago, but I still get on a website.
Well, if you like the action, then you got to go Instagram. Got to do it for the gram.
If you like the OnlyFans action, Instagram.
There you go. That's straight talk from Brother Mahi right there. Mahi Live. So once again, Mahi, thanks for taking the time. I know you're busy. We'll let you get back on the road. But again, doing a great job as a dad, doing a great job getting back to it. Keep up the good work. And we're looking forward to hearing new music from you in the future.
Thank you guys too. This is, I'm glad it actually finally worked where I could pull over where there was reception. Not like last week.
All right.
Thank you, my brother.
That is Mahi Live. Aloha. Yeah,
thank you, guys.
Forget Google. Forget Apple. These guys own stock in every Manapua man's van. The Two Hawaii Dads Podcast.
All right. We are back. It is the Two Hawaii Dads Podcast. Bruh. I'm amazed.
Mahi's the man.
I'm amazed we got him to pull over. We got him to pull over long enough to talk to us.
So we was actually talking about it before Mahi got on about does it make me less of a dad that I don't know how to drive stick?
Yes.
I know.
Turn in your man card right now.
And then we saw him driving the semi, which is like way more difficult than driving stick.
Yep.
And we was talking about how the shifty stuff.
When
is
you see
head.
The shifter, it's so big, and he's got the shifters on semis have like 8 gears. So he's like, hey, hold on, I gotta get into 6 real fast. All right. Would you want to be a truck driver? Is that something you would want to do?
Okay, this is of what I know, and we didn't even ask him about it, but the pay is good.
Oh, the pay can be very good.
Right. The pay can be very good, but you're sacrificing time.
You're never home. And you're always on the road.
And that's exactly what he was saying. It's like, it's truck, 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 truck. Oh,
I gotta release the song. Truck. Oh, all right. And he's like only home for like 4-5 hours a day, and he's back on the road.
And I mean, it's not that amazing. It's not that bad for a dad at this age with the kid when they're at that, you know, 3 months, 4 months, like his daughter. But in a few more years, they ain't gonna fly if daddy's not home for part of the day. Yeah, and you know this, man.
Yeah, it's gonna be dance. Or she wants to play soccer, or all the kinds of stuff that you don't gotta be there, but it's good to be there in the introductory part. So we wish him luck and in everything, music. And that was an amazing story about his hand. He almost lost his hand. That's unbelievable.
Yep. Stick around. We got that track that we mentioned earlier, "Let Me Love You," featuring Anna V from Mahi.
Anna V.
That's going to be coming up later on in the podcast. So stick around for that. But before we get there, this is now the point of the show where we have a debate.
A debate, and I've been trying to get Jason to jump on the debates for a long time.
If you're a follower of the social media, you know. If you're a follower of the social media, if you follow Two High Dads on Instagram, you might have seen a certain somebody. It was not this dad. It was the other dad. It was the other dad who decided to push the dad. You say it. I'm not even going to say it. I'm not even going to dignify it.
Okay. I'm calling it a dad bait. And the reason why I thought of this one is because Mike Tyson is in the news. Again,
he is in the mix, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not baiting anything. This is a debate. We can have a debate all that you
keep
want.
Keep your hands where I can see them.
But don't sit here and talk to me, my friend, about trying to bait anything. But yeah, the discussion that we want to talk about is one Mike Tyson, Iron Mike. All Iron I can Mike. Say is Nintendo, brah. Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, one of the greatest games ever.
I agree, and it's a good thing that now it's like the Switch, it makes it available to play again. But so
that's beside the point.
Mike Tyson, 53 years old, he thinking about getting back into the ring potentially to fight again.
Yep, and
he did.
It came out just a few days ago. I think it came out earlier this week where he got on social media. And he decided that he was gonna show people what was really going on. Check this out. This video is crazy.
Yeah, I don't want any of that.
Tyson up here showing off. Just showing off. This guy is, how old is he? 53?
I believe he's 53 years. And look at the title, it says, "I'm back." Look at that.
He is. I would not want to catch that guy in a dark alley. You know what I'm saying?
No, definitely. So it got me thinking, in their prime, who was more feared? Tyson or Dennis Alexio? A lot of people went Tyson. I just think he won because he's more mainstream.
I think it was because Tyson would annihilate you.
Really?
Dennis, you got, as long as you could stay out of the range of his leg, like, that just means you got to run, you know, like, stick and move, because that he was not the best striker.
I think, okay, well, he it depends on what rules we're going to go under.
This is a street fight, my friend.
Oh, a street fight.
No rules. There are no rules. No pull strap. Like,
there's no way Mike Tyson will get past the front kicks. Alexio would front kick him to death.
Think so?
And he would. I think so. If it was no rules, let's just make it clear that I don't want any of them at any age. even now, after Alexio pays his taxes, bruh, he still can kick
my ass. My thing would be, I just think Tyson, he only needs one. You know what I mean? And I don't think Dennis would be able to absorb a flurry like that. Like, if he was able to get the front kick in, cool. But if he missed, if it was off, if he parries it, whatever, and then all of a sudden Tyson is on you and he's striking, over.
Right.
Over.
Well, I think Tyson needs to get close to have full Mike Tyson power in those punches.
Yep, but all it takes is one.
Well,
There it is. Hey, thanks for dad baiting with me.
I'm not going to do any kind of anything along those. I'll debate you all that you want, my friend, but you can keep your baiting to yourself. Did you hear that?
I can't wait to the next one.
Did you hear that Tyson actually has somebody calling him out? Holyfield was saying, yo, you want to fight? Let's get it on.
Does he want to keep his other ear? He better watch his mouth.
They were actually saying, Holyfield is actually on the record. He came out and there's some news stories out there saying that if he will take it, if he's really serious about coming back, it could be Holyfield, Tyson, I think it's three.
Three. And you know what? At this point, I would pay to watch that.
Would you get on a plane and fly to an arena and put yourself in a seat? No.
I'm not that crazy about it. I'm not that crazy.
Well, you know who's crazy?
I'm just saying I will buy the pay-per-view.
You know who's crazy? The Chinese are crazy because they already reopened Disneyland over in China. They're like back to normal.
Beautiful segue.
Did you hear about that? Disneyland China is back in business. They don't care. Mickey is ready. Mickey is ready to go. Yes. Let's do it. Did you see those pictures? Like, they got masks and they got distancing, and you got to, like, go sit, like, five cars apart and everything. So.
And I think I saw when they're going to fog the people.
Like, they're taking all the steps. They're doing all the precautions. But all of that aside, would you still go to Disneyland? Like, say Hollywood, the one in California, Florida, wherever. Would you still go to Disneyland? Even if you know they're fogging things and wiping things down and there's like, hey, deals, Brad, deals. You would go. You would take the kids.
No.
No?
I would think about it. That's not a hard no. I would definitely think about it. And
so it's not a J.I. Ray hard yes. It is definitely
there you go. I mean, that one. Definitely not.
My problem is I think somebody else would be bankrolling our trip. So if somebody else are going to throw the money and say, you guys are going to Disneyland, like
we're packed. Let's go.
You know how Filipinos are. They like save money. Filipinos are kind of like Chinese, and I am Filipino and Chinese.
Oh, that is extra.
So I'm not going to say that I do not want to say I want to save money. It's just.
Just imagine how crazy those lines are to get on the ride.
I don't think there would be lines. That's just it. Is you would go to Disneyland when it reopens because there would be no lines.
You're banking on people like me staying away.
I think the biggest risk is not Disneyland. If something like that were to come up, I don't think the biggest risk is Disneyland. I think it would be getting on the plane and going to California. And then getting on the plane and coming back to Hawaii and then having to quarantine for 14 days probably when you came back. That, I think, is the bigger pain in the butt and the bigger risk. The risk is in the trip. I don't think the risk is at Disneyland.
Because you're saying everybody in there must be, they pass all the temperature checks and all of this stuff. Just imagine if you're walking around and you get pulled over for a temperature check. We're like, oh, excuse me, sir. Let me give you a quick temperature check.
You know, and honestly, that would be the one time if you do get on a plane and go to Disneyland, that's when you would have the N50 whatever mask so that you have the true protection. I don't think Disneyland would be the problem. I think it would be the airports. I think it would be the metal tube.
I think Jason is leaving the door open.
Well, if the grandparents want to pay for it, if grandma is like, yo, Tutu's gonna cover the cost of dinner, then I'm not gonna say no. You don't say that because I know my kid. My daughter is like, can we go? She knows all about Corona. She's four, and she knows that
she's
an
expert.
She knows that she doesn't like Corona because it gets in the way of her having a good time.
That's a smart girl.
You know who's not getting in the way of having a good time? The Koreans.
Of course.
Koreans are having a great time because baseball is back in Korea.
That is hilarious.
Right.
So I take it you've been watching the KBO then.
I've tried because I am a baseball fan. So, yes. You know, if you turn the volume down and you don't pay much attention and you just let it go and you watch, then it's cool.
I have a problem with the ESPN announcers. They just don't interest me whatsoever.
And that's what I found, is that the announcers on ESPN don't know enough about Korean baseball, so they start talking about other things.
Yeah, they went like totally off the rails, like how we do some of the times. And I'm like, what does this have to do with anything? And meanwhile, these, you know, the guys are hitting the ball and whatnot. Oh, by the way, there's a put on at first, who else?
And that's why I don't watch the baseball, because I don't want to hear any of that crap. You know what I mean? I watch it for the fake people behind home plate, so I can say, hey.
I was gonna say,
you see the reactions on those guys?
Hilarious.
Right. That's the greatest thing, is there's cutouts in the back. You know what I think it is? It's to provide contrast for the pitchers, so that they have something.
Oh, also, does it really throw them off?
Again, you got to realize professional athletes are used, while they do tune it out, you know, they say, oh, it's all background noise, it's just something that we're not really paying attention to. But they're paying attention to the crowd. They know it's there. They can feel it. You can hear it. You know, the hum of the crowd, the roar of the crowd. That stuff is still part of the experience. And it's got to feel weird to be playing in front of an empty state.
This past weekend was the UFC, and you were saying earlier that some of the fighters were thrown off. I didn't get the chance to see it. I just saw like the highlights.
Yeah, or whatever, they were saying, you know, it was way too quiet.
So I'm thinking it's like, I mean, way too quiet. So it's just, you could fully, by the contact of fist to face, throws them off.
That noise is always there. It's when there's no crowd, when there's nobody cheering, when there's nobody saying you suck. You know, like if all you're hearing is, like, they're used to hearing that, but some of them were saying it's unnerving to not have any noise in the background. So,
obviously UFC is here to stay, is moving forward. So maybe somehow Dana White will somehow maybe address that. I don't know. Who knows?
Oh, so
he needs to make money, though.
Korean baseball or UFC? Which is the next one you're going to plan to watch?
I'd have to watch UFC, because at least I know who's fighting.
Oh, there's your debate right there.
Not Hong Wong Jong going long over the right field fence. Wow. Don't know who that is.
Wow. That was pretty amazing. Hey.
Yeah.
Speaking of amazing, Tua bought his mom a car.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
I did. And it was, what is that? Was that an Escalade, a Caddy?
Pretty amazing. If you caught that, mom was pretty happy. I realized, though, they're not in Hawaii. I was like, that doesn't look like Waianae.
No, that's not Ever Beach either.
Yeah.
They are, I'm pretty sure they're going to stay on the mainland.
That's where, was that where they were? Are they like in Alabama or something?
I think they're still in Alabama. I think they're going to move. Tua's going to buy like 17 houses, and one of them is going to be down there in Florida.
Well, I was going to say, now he's going to have a house in Florida, he'll have a house in Alabama, he'll have a house in Hawaii, and it'll just be which one you want to go to.
Well, you know how much he got paid, right?
How much? What was it?
$30 million. And that's not including all the sponsorships.
Yep.
Homeboy,
that's the beauty.
Has recently got.
That's the beauty of being a professional athlete.
Yeah, this is like, it's like radio. Radio. There's no money in the radio. Everything you get on the outside.
Sponsorships.
So I follow him on Instagram.
Okay.
And like his past maybe 10, 15 posts on his Instagram.
Yep.
All sponsored related. Muscle Milk, Adidas, Gillette, Bose. Wingstop.
Not mad at
sponsoring.
Not mad at it one bit.
He's definitely made his way out of Ever Beach, and congrats out to him, bro.
So
who knows how his career is going to turn out, but he's freaking rich.
If you don't know who we're talking about, Tua Tagovailoa is now a Miami Dolphin.
He didn't give him the Rick Ross or the Goodell Tagovailoa,
bro.
No, that was awful.
I'm not going to embarrass myself. That's the thing, is you better hope that all these Haole in Florida learn how to say that dude's name, because it's not hard. You just got to learn how to say it.
Like, yeah, something a weasel and just saying Tua. They got to stop doing that. They got to stop.
And you,
if he's going to be the quarterback for your franchise, you're going to take it to the next level. Damn well freaking remember how to pronounce his name.
And you don't have to have the proper Samoan, you know, pronunciation. You just got to be able to get it off. Just get it out. Keep practicing, holy people. Keep practicing. So, Tua the Dolphin. I'm going with that right now. You can trademark that right now. Tua the Dolphin. What you think? Are they going to go and like rip it up this season, if there even is a season in the NFL?
For one, I'm not too confident on it actually happening, I don't think it's gonna happen. I personally don't think it's gonna happen at all. But as far as the Dolphins, I am not too familiar. I know they suck, so I'm not too sure what they got. And
please don't hit up Two High Dads on Instagram with all your reactions to J.I.R.A.'s sports analysis. Please follow his own Instagram and do that there, because I don't need all these alerts showing up on my phone. Let it go to his phone, okay?
Yeah, I mean, if you are a fan of the show, you know my picks are absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Put money
on it.
It
is well documented. It is well documented how bad my picks are.
Which is why you sit here off the air trying to ask me if I'm going to put money on Korean baseball. I was like, why? You got the picks, bro? You gonna give me the must try?
Hanwan Eagles.
No.
To the ship. You're going to take the ship.
No.
Eagles.
Not happening.
Unicorns. The Dinos.
So that is a great way right there to end things, because I'm kind of over it right now. To the Dolphin. If you didn't know, he is my cousin, and I hope he loans me some money. Nah. How many other people could be saying, hey, you know, Tua, that's my cousin.
Yeah, you look related.
Yeah. So check us out online, the website once again.
TwoHawaiiDads.com. Again, thank you to our winner. Do you have the winner's name again?
Shay Sky 22. That's that's our winner. Congratulations to you. Thank you so much. We need all the fans we can get as we continue to build this podcast. So thank you. I don't know about you, but thank you. For listening, subscribing, and liking everything that we do here.
Rate, review, subscribe.
All with the Two Hawaii Dads. That'll do it for this week. I'm Jason.
Justin, right over here. Thank you, guys. We love you.
We'll see you next time. Two Hawaii Dads. Get in.
Aloha.
Rattly Bones and some old jokes. The Two Hawaii Dads Podcast.
Don't let me down.